Now, dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. I would like to begin reading in verse 7 and read down to and including verse 12. The passage begins with a report of John the Baptist as he goes out and begin to preach. And it indicates that he's preaching a repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want to break into what he's actually doing and what's taking place there as who John the Baptist is. And then those who came to him to even be baptized unto the baptism of repentance. Beginning in verse 3. For this is the one, John that is, the Messiah, referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness," it is John, "make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." My purpose this morning is to preach the gospel and preach the gospel from this text itself, not using all of it for the very preaching, but to even use the rest of the scripture on the very subject, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, first thing should be known when we preach such a subject is that it must be handled with compassion. It must be handled with the very emotions of knowing what this is, the wrath of God. If anyone come to you and tell you something of a sorry nature, of something that happened, some catastrophe, and they seem to have no compassion connected with the subject, or they seem to tell it with some glee, you would be one who would be perplexed in what this person is telling you. That is the same idea when we come to the scriptures, and especially to the subject of the wrath of God. Now, I know there are those of you in this place who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wrath of God is a subject that you ought to be thinking about. But I will not stand before you and preach as if I'm going to say to you in some kind of a gleeful way, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to suffer the wrath of God. And he almost, in a sense, saying as if, "I'll be so glad when that happened to you." If any preacher preaches the wrath of God that way, he is not like his Savior, who could even look at the masses, especially those Jerusalem, when he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I come to you, but you would not hear me. I come as a hen to gather his chicks, but you would not have it." Christ wept when he could see and understood what was going to happen to those who would be broken by the wrath of God. And so this morning as I come, I have you on my heart. And that being the case, I want you to hear about the wrath of God. But I want you to hear about it for the purpose that you yourself would not be caught under that wrath at the judgment day, or even how God should mete out even before that time. I wanted to give you, first of all, a brief review of the context. As I said in the beginning of the reading of the text, we find this is about John the Baptist himself, but his purpose is to preach about Christ, or the Messiah which is to come. He is to prepare the way, make a straight path for the Messiah to come. And if you see what we've read, that he definitely does do that. He did do that, I should say. He actually indicated that as he come to baptize, he was preparing all, that there's a repentance that each man must look at. And so therefore, his word was so powerful that all around came to be baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And then there were those who came out. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they came out to the baptism also. Now this caused John the Baptist to look with some question in his mind. Who warned you to come to the wrath to come? To flee, excuse me, from the wrath to come. And John, looking at them, he is saying that, first of all, to come and to be baptized is to flee the wrath of God. And he indicates that in another portion of what we've read, that saying that when the one who comes, who he's not even able to tie his shoe or to loose his sandal, he says that one comes. And when he comes, he's going to separate. And those who are not believing in him, or as he calls the chaff, will be burned up with unquenchable fire. And so as we plunge into this, we see what John is saying. John is saying that there's an importance of this theme in the preaching of the wrath of God, which is attached to Messiah himself. Messiah, he's the one when he comes and the wrath of God is known, will truly be seen and understood by all. He says concerning Christ, or it said to John rather, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Therefore, John the Baptist makes it clear that the wrath of God is a reality and must be taken very seriously. As a matter of fact, all must flee from that wrath which is to come. The Bible unashamedly presents the wrath of God for all to clearly see it. This morning I want to present to you the clear teaching on the wrath of God. Now my hope is that the Lord God will use this sermon to cause many of you, if not every one of you who know not Christ in this place, to flee from the wrath of God. Now as I begin, my one verse that even is so important to this, we find it in verse 7. And John says, as he looks and he sees those coming, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Now here is the verse I want to settle on, and just to give you understanding of that, and then go on for there. First of all, I want to look at the objects of John the Baptist's question. His question was, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? First of all, his objects, he tells us who they are. Who are those who come to him, and he now has this question to them, who warned you to flee? Well, we see they're Pharisees and they're Sadducees. Pharisees, this was the religious, self-righteous group in Israel. The ones who thought that they were doing everything according to the law of Moses and living above everyone else. They were self-righteous and they said, you must follow God the way they were following God. They pent on many laws upon the way one could get into the kingdom of God, or I should say to serve God through that Old Testament way. But they tied great burdens upon people. They were not righteous men. They were self-righteous men. The Sadducees were a political group. of unbelievers with many misunderstandings and doubts about the very presence of God, even the existence of God, and especially about His power and His majesty. Who is this one? Even the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these Sadducees were Jews themselves, but they said, who is this God? Now, John the Baptist refers to them as a brood of vipers. Vipers. He is saying they were snakes. Poisonous snakes. If you look at a brood of snakes, you may catch a snake away from her nest and you see all those little eggs there. And if it's a rattlesnake, you look at them, they may look cute, but you say, if they get the chance, they're going to spit their venom on you. And so this is what John says, you brood of vipers. They were filled with the venom of false, poisonous religion and were more harm than good to the people of Israel. There was doubt in John's mind, no doubt, to this group that they were coming with real godly intentions. That they really want to do as so many others were coming, and that is to be baptized and the baptism of repentance. So John asked the question, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he looks at these objects, and no wonder he would say that. I want to press an application even right here. The application is this, in this way. There are many like these two groups even today. They come to church or take up religion for their advancement or maybe to appease their consciences. And the only reason they're coming, not to really find the truth and also to walk with God, not to be those who would come and to repent and find themselves, as John says here, bringing forth fruits meet for repentance. They come because they may just think that in the coming, something will be given to them in some kind of way. Or maybe they come just to appease those who may be close to them and telling them to come. They may be coming because they feel that there's some way they think, and that's what they want to do to make sure that this thinking that they have will be thrashed out in the scriptures. There is no real desire for salvation in many who comes this way, just to see what all the excitement is all about. As the Sadducees and the Pharisees were coming, they were more concerned what's happening. What's happening to their position and the leaders in Israel as those who would have the truth, as they would say it, of true worship to Jehovah. And so they wanted to see what was going on. Many people come to church today. They just want to see what's going on. They want to see if they can find some kind of way that they can check this thing out. But all I want to know is what's all the ruckus about? What's the excitement? But these are nothing but, as the Pharisees in most cases, they're nothing but self-righteous hypocrites. They already have their minds made up about religion. They come to see, and in most cases, the sad part about it, they leave the Christian church with tidbits, and they try to make them those tidbits into doctrines. And that self-righteous religiousness that they have, they become none other than the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Sadducees are nothing but their liberal unbelievers using Christianity as a badge. That's what they do today. Like the Pharisees and Sadducees, the power of God has not touched them at all. They come amongst the people and the power of God is working there, but they don't see it and they can't understand it. They come bringing their poison into the congregation and looking for the opportunity to spit venom. Snakes they are, hissing and biting everyone that they can. This is what John says. This is who he was talking to. The objects of his question. Secondly, notice the essence of John's question to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? The word warn is very interesting here, dear people. The word use means to show plainly, to set before the eyes, to instruct plainly. It's not as we would think, As you're walking down the street and you see a house and there's a up on the roof, it's on fire. You knock on the door and you warn the people, the house is on fire. Get out. It's not that. It's not that great shout of look out for the danger. This word which is used, it means that there is some time taken, some explanation is given, set before the eyes to instruct plainly what needs to be done. In other words, it says, who have shown you clearly that what you are and who you are right now, you need to run. The word is used many ways, or many places, I should say. Let me read a couple to you. You can get the understanding. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. That's the same word, show as warn. I will display before you. I will instruct to you plainly who he is like. Luke 12 and 5. But if I warn you of whom to fear, fear the one whom after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. The first part of that, Jesus says, but I will warn you whom to fear. I will show you. I will explain to you. I will instruct to you the one you need to fear. And he does it in the remainder of the verse. I will show you whom you must fear. Then he says, fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now that's clear. Jesus is not saying, fear the one who, and he gives you all this little flowery talk. He says, the one you must fear is that one who can kill. But yet after that, he can cast into hell. Well, even by way of passing, away with those folk that think that after death there's nothing else. Jesus says clearly, there's one who can kill, and after he kills, he can cast into hell. So that, it's not the, are you dead? You're dead, and that's it. No, you got to take this up with Jesus if you think otherwise. Look at another verse, Acts 9 and 16. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Here is Jesus talking to Ananias concerning the Apostle Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus. And the same word warn here is, we find it, the word show. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now you and I understand that that's going to be something done through the entire life of Saul. He's going to see in each occasion he gets into, God is going to be displaying for him, instructing him, you have to now suffer these particular things. It's very important that you and I know when John the Baptist says, who warned you to flee from the wrath of come? He is not saying who came into Jerusalem, into the synagogue, into the temple and said, get out, the wrath is coming. No, who sat down with you? Who spoke to you? Who told you you are in danger and then laid out clearly what the danger is? Who warned you to flee? That is to run or move from danger because of fear. In other words, he's asking them, so you come out here, you've been warned, and you are afraid because now you are coming to the baptism. Well, John the Baptist probably was right. He had doubt that these guys didn't come for that purpose. But he also says the wrath to come. The wrath to come. The wrath of God. That wrath, which is called divine judgment, to be inflicted upon the wicked. Divine judgment of God to be inflicted upon the wicked. Who warned you to flee from that? Now that wrath is what we see, and we can find it is in the scriptures. And God says clearly that he is going to deal with the wicked. He's going to deal with those who know not the gospel. He's going to deal with those who are outside of Christ. That divine judgment we find, it is real. Romans 2 and 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Here the Apostle Paul says, as he's writing the letter, he says, what is happening? God in all His mercy and all His kindness, He has not dealt with you yet. He's given you space to repent. But what are you doing, he says here? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. Children, understand the picture here. It's like you have a chest where all your toys are, but you have a chest there. And what Paul is saying here, you take the wrath of God and you're opening that chest and you're putting some in there. And the next thing you do, you put some more in there. You keep storing it up. You're saving it. And he says, that's happening because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart. You children, your mother and father speak to you and they tell you that you need to turn from a wicked way. You need to change your heart. You need to confess your sins. And then you do that. And if you do it in such a way, I'm going to do this and that, you know. But you do it because of what you've done. You've taken some wrath from God. You put it in the chest. And if mom or dad never caught what you did, but there you are. You did something sneakily. Maybe you hit the sibling or something. Or you stole something. Mom and dad never caught it. God knows it. You put more wrath in that chest. And that's what's happening. This is what Paul is saying. Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, when God comes, you know what God can say? Go over there and open that chest. And you're going to say, I don't want to do that. He says, open it. And when you open the chest, he says, here's why you must receive my wrath. Revelation 6 and 16 shows that the wrath of God, when it comes to the minds of men, is not a pretty picture. Revelation 6 and 16. And it says, when the heavens opened up and there you saw the Son of Man, and they said, and that is all the men upon the earth, the good men, the lowly men, slaves and free men, so on and so. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Can you imagine that? Looking to a tree and saying to the tree, crush me, kill me. I can't stand the wrath of God which I now see. Hide me. Rocks fall on me. Bury me deep away from God and who He is. And all His grandeur and glory and might on His throne. And the Lamb and the wrath which will come for me. It's not a pretty sight. Oh, you've heard probably, I know the older ones of you in here, you've heard, oh, it wouldn't bother me at all when I get to hell. All my friends are going to be there. No, that's not the picture laid before us in the Scriptures. Hide me. Do something. Cover me. The wrath is like this horrible weight coming down upon me, and I can't take it. The question that John the Baptist had for the Pharisees and the Sadducees was, who spent time to instruct you in the truth and in the danger of the coming wrath of God? Who set before your eyes the impending danger of God's wrath to make you run and to repent? That's the question. And that's really the opening up of that area there. I've set before you 2 points. That is the object of the question and the essence of the question. Now, in the third place, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to warn you of God's wrath. all you here who are outside of Christ, I'm going to warn you of God's wrath. First of all, I want you to notice that God's wrath is also in the Scriptures. It's given as it's a present wrath. You know what that means? And I don't think it's too far for you to understand. Little boy, little girl, man, woman, whatever, when you commit something right then and there in that sin, you know you are guilty right then and there. You don't become guilty when somebody finds out about it. You're guilty right then and there. And so there's what the Scriptures are saying. That guilt is the very thing that cries out for the wrath of God. John says it this way in John chapter 3 and 36. He writes it this way. The words of Jesus Christ. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Right now, right then. Two things he says in this very text. And that is the fact that, number one, what you have here is that there are those who do not believe. Therefore, they won't have life if they don't believe. But Jesus then shows that not believing is not obeying. And those who do not obey, the wrath of God is already on them. So you see, dear children, man, woman, boy or girl in here, when I say God's wrath is present, it's already abiding over you. It's already on you. You're not going to become guilty. You are already guilty. Paul puts it this way in Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. He said it's revealed already. And he looks at this and he says, they are those who are considered or in the line of ungodly, unrighteousness. That wrath is revealed against that. Any act of unrighteousness, of ungodly act, God's wrath, as it were, it comes right over that person. But here he says something else. These people who are like this, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Let me say something to you here today. Guess what? When you say, sinner, well, I've grown up in my mother's house, my father's house. I've heard the gospel. Well, you know, I really don't believe that we need to worry about all that. Know what you're doing? You are suppressing truth. You are squashing. You are standing on. You are pressing down the truth when you say, I don't think we need to do that. And if you put that in the ears of anyone else, that's even worse. Soon as you let those words come out, God's wrath becomes heaped upon you even more. Because now your unrighteousness, your ungodliness is crying out, God, destroy me. Deal with me because I am against you and all you stand for. God's divine judgment will be inflicted upon the wicked, is already over you and ready to crush you and to destroy you even now. It's here with you right now. God is the one who's now saying to you, because of your life, because of what you're doing, my wrath is hovering over you, ready to crush you. You see, people think, well, I'm not so bad. Well, maybe I'm not even guilty until I go before the judge. You know, that's the way we have it in the world today. So what? I did something. Well, you got to prove it before you can pass sentence. Guess what? The sentence is already passed. It's passed already for you. You're going to suffer the wrath of God. Not only is God's wrath present, God's wrath will be poured out in the future. Colossians 3 and 6 says this, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. because of the very things in the first part of its chapter, all the things that people do, all the sins that they commit. He said, it's because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Guess what? Lost man, woman, boy or girl this morning, you are a son or daughter of disobedience. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon you. Turn with me to one text I want you to read. Though it doesn't say the wrath of God, you can see how God is going to do it. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I purposely didn't have you turn into too many verses, but this, I want you to see this. I think it should be 2 Thess. Let's see. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing in this letter, and he's telling them how they are suffering from all those around them and how they are mistreating them. And he tells them that, don't worry about that. All is for a purpose. And in verse 8, I want you to see what he says. Let's pick up in verse 7. And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So the apostle says that wrath is coming and it will fall upon all those. Those who are there, they will receive the wrath. Now there's other texts that I have here, but I believe that is sufficient for this hour. That we know now in other places, if you want, read Revelations 14, 9 to 11, you see that wrath is coming. But thirdly, under this point, God's future wrath is connected with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got 6 texts here. I'm going to read one, and I don't need you to turn to it. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, where the Lord Jesus Christ, so it said, he sets up his throne, and all the nations are before him. Goats on the left, and the sheep on the right. And then he says that those who have ministered to him through the people of God, they're going to enter into the glory. But he says, those who have not, he says this, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When Christ comes and sets up his throne, the picture given to us there may not be the reality, but he's going to set up his throne, and everybody is going to be before that throne. Those who know not Christ, into eternal destruction. Into eternal destruction. Another thing we find in the scriptures, all are sinners and under the wrath of God. You hear that, people? All are sinners and under the wrath of God. You see, there's doctrines out there who change that whole thing, that some are not so bad. And even some of the doctrines have come into the Christian church that now you have been changed by this restorative grace. And so therefore, you're not that bad. And you can choose Christ when you get ready to. No, the scriptures doesn't say that. And I do want you to see this one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And notice how the apostle, as he writes to those in Ephesus, and how he even states this very truth. Him being an apostle and knowing how he has come to know Christ. And he states what was the very case of even him before that time. Notice in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now he's speaking of spiritual death. He's saying to the whole entire church at this time. He's saying to those who are now Christ Jesus, here is the past life you were. This is what you were before grace came. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And notice as he goes on, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The Apostle Paul says to the believers there in Ephesus, you are different now because of grace which has come to you. He goes down and he says, by grace you have been saved. And that not of yourself, the gift of God. And he says, this is the very thing. He said, but what were you? You were a child of wrath, under the wrath of God. Each and every one of you right now, outside of Christ. I don't have a pretty category to put you in. I can only give you the truth. You are right now dead in your trespasses and sins. And that being the case, guess what you're doing? Guess how you live? You're walking according to the course of this world. What the world says to you. How the world molds you. You're saying, okay, I like that. That's the way I'm going to go. Give me a straight path so I can walk down. You're saying also, it's saying that you walk according to the prince of the power of the air. The whole philosophy of life outside of Christ is the philosophies of the devil. That's what it is. It sounds good, you know, when you look at this, you know, what is man? He's like this, and what can he do? And he can fix himself up, you know, and we are concerned about this, you know. We want everybody to have equal stuff. It sounds good, but it's the devil's philosophy. You don't find any of that in the scriptures. And he says, not only is it the prince of power of the air, he defines or describes or whatever who this one is. The spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Dear young man, your mother asked you why you did that. You may say you don't know, but you know what you need to do? Go back and read Ephesians chapter 6. And this is not the foolish stuff that Flip Wilson said years ago. Here is the truth. The devil is guiding your life. And that's what you need to see and understand. And that makes you fit for the wrath of God. And you need to understand it clearly. And see, and as we see it, all are sinners and are under the wrath of God. The Apostle Paul says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Well, who is the Apostle Paul? He figured himself to be a righteous man. But guess what? He was a Pharisee. And he thought he had it all together. He said he was a proud Pharisee. He stuck to the law more than anybody else did. And he looked at himself. He said, you know, I got a pretty good pedigree also. Not only a Jew, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Look at me. I'm great. But he says, in all that, all he was, by nature, was nothing but a child of wrath. What he was. You see, so, we can't find no nice cubbyhole to put you in. See, it's one or the other. You're a child of God, or you are being destroyed by the very thoughts and leading of the devil, and you are a child of wrath. But, as we look at this, dear people, final thing I have for you is the only thing that you could do is escape the wrath to come. Now, let me ask you something. If I told you, if you drink that so-and-so, whatever it may be, let's call it poison, you're going to die. What will you do? Will you drink it to see if I'm telling you the truth? No, you'll stay away from it. If I told you, if you go down the street right now, there's a crazy person down there with a machine gun killing everybody up down there. Don't go down there. What are you going to do? You going to go anywhere? No. You're going to say, I'm going to stay away from that. So therefore, if I've warned you of the wrath, that it is real and it is upon you even right now, and I say to you, don't continue the way you are, get away from it, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hurry up and finish, Pastor, so I can go back to my life? Live under the wrath of God? Or you are going to say, oh God, help me to flee from the wrath to come, which is already over me like a big boulder ready to smash me right down into hell. How do I get out from under it, God? That's what you need to know. And the only thing we can find, and John tells us what it is, true repentance is the only escape from God's wrath. And that's why he could say in there, bring that for bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, come doing something which shows that there has been a mind that has been changed and you've come away from the way you are living. You see, you got to turn away from what you do and what you think. One of the saddest things as a pastor to talk to people and knowing they've been under the sound of the Word of God or they've heard it, and you ask them, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. All right. Well, what about spiritually? How are you doing? Well, for a pastor, that hurts. You know, and it is almost like you're saying, could I have said it any clearer? But thanks be to God, you go right to say, Lord, they're not going to wake up unless you do it. Thanks be to God for that. But some of you may think, okay, I hear the wrath and I hear that I need to escape. I'll do it tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. You know what God says, Jesus tells us to that man who was living for himself and had all things for himself. He says, boy, my fields, they've grown up. I don't even have the room to put my stuff in a barn. I'm going to build bigger barns so I can put them in. And Jesus says, God said to him that night, thou fool, your soul is required of thee. You see, I don't know when that's going to happen to any one of us. You don't know either. You can suppose upon tomorrow. You can suppose upon 2 years, 6 years, 20 years. You can't. The wrath of God is abiding on you right now. And so what you must do is flee, escape, run. And the only way to do that is with true repentance. And that true repentance is that you must come and look at Christ. He must come and see him. We are told in Psalm 2 that God says, I set my Lord, my King up in Zion. And he says to them, do homage to him. I like the King James in this aspect. Kiss the Son, that he not be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. If that's something, the Son's wrath is what's over you, but you could run to the one who has the wrath over you and find refuge. Romans 5 and 9, it says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. You see, it is the blood of Jesus Christ saying that he died for sinners. His death is the only thing that will save a sinner from the wrath of God. In this Thessalonians we read, and what is it? And wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. You see, dear people, you must see and understand there is a wrath. And that wrath is not going to catch up to you when you turn 21 or whatever the case may be. It's on you already. You have committed sins. You are guilty. But even right now, destroy you. As he says, who should you fear? Someone who will destroy the body? No. Fear the one who can kill. And even after killing, he can. Because he has the authority to cast into hell. Don't we walk in days of fear right now? When I go out, what's going to happen? I'll be carjacked. There'll be some crazy man out there, as we hear often, shooting up someplace and I get caught in the crossfire. That's fear. And some people fear goes just to this body and what they have. Jesus says you got to fear more than that. Much more than that. You know why? All of us going to die. It's just a matter of what door we're going to go through, which is that doorway to death. And guess what? Jesus is saying, and all of us will live after death. The soul shall never die. What's going to happen after death? Are you going to then have God say to you, into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Why? Because you would not believe the gospel. You laid in your sins and you stayed there. You got to escape, dear people. Well, I'll close with this. You have been warned. I don't think anyone can walk out of here unless you fell asleep with your eyes open and say you didn't hear anything that was going on. Unless, like a Pharisee or a Sadducee, you came and said, I don't believe that. Well, all I can say to you is that I gave you verse after verse after verse after verse. If you don't believe it, you will not obey the gospel, which through what you've heard is a proof that a wrath is even being heaped up upon you by your actions this day. You have been warned. You have witnessed the truth of the wrath of God in the Scriptures. Now you must flee from that wrath. But there is one thing. It is Christ, as I indicated, who is the great judge. He is the one who's going to condemn. It says that in John chapter 5. He's the one. All will come out of the graves and stand before Him. But He is the one that you must go to. He is the one that you must flee and plead to mercy. Cry to Him and beg Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Repent, dear person. Meaning stop trusting in what you think you can do. That God's going to look at you. Even because you came to church today, God's going to say, ooh, good brownie point over that side. No, He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your wickedness. He's looking at the fact that you will not believe. And He says, if you come to church and you hear the truth and you walk out again, you have actually suppressed that truth and unrighteousness. More wrath in the chest. Oh, please, don't think for one moment that you got away another Sunday without being saved. Oh, no, it's not that. You got more wrath than you had last week. Realize, dear people, that you can do nothing. You can do nothing to help yourself but run to Christ Jesus. That is, in the spiritual way, run to Him. Trust Him. Trust Him only. It says the blood of Christ. It says His death is on the cross. Remember, you must see this now. The wrath of God, which you and I deserve. The wrath of God is what Jesus took up on the cross. Now, the Father poured out His wrath on His Son for those whom He would save. And you see, we who are Christians, it's not that God says, oh, wait, I'm going to be a little lenient to you. I'm going to let your plea bargain move me. No, the wrath had to be poured out. It had to be paid. And it was paid upon Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ is the one that He's going to minister out the wrath upon all the disobedient. But you see, those who come and run to Christ is running to Him as the great judge who has all the authority to destroy them. And they say, where else can I go? Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, free me. It can only be done by You. Oh, sinner, you have been warned this morning in the biblical sense of what the wrath of God is. And the only thing I can say to you at this point, flee to Christ Jesus, that you may be spared from the wrath of God, that wrath to come, that you won't have it on you. Take this away with you, please, at least. You're going out of this place with a whole boulder of wrath over you. And the only reason why it hasn't dropped yet is because of the mercy of God. And that mercy is giving you room to repent. Cry to God. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him to help you. And I hope you leave this place and saying, as some of us, when the Lord was pleased to open us up, I am afraid to even walk. I might trip and fall and die. And if I die now, God's wrath is over me. I'm afraid to do this or that, because if I do, I will die. I hope God puts you in that place, for you will not leave your knees in a spiritual sense, crying out to God always, pleading to Him, have mercy, because the wrath is coming and you deserve it. Are you going to tell Him that? See, you can't say, I'm so good I don't need your salvation. I'm about to die. And it could be any moment, God, because you have the authority to do it. Let us pray.